Good evening.
It's good to worship with you tonight. Question, is the love of God real? And if it is real, what benefits do we receive? Some thought to ponder during our worship tonight as we continue our Lenten journey under the theme, The Greatest Love Story. I invite your attention to the invocation on page 3. O Lord, open my lips.
And my mouth shall declare your praise.
Hasten to save me, O God.
O Lord, come quickly to help me.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve him as his dear children. But we have disobeyed him and deserve only his wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him and plead for his mercy.
Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt.
God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to his will.
Amen.
Lord God, you have brought us safely to this hour of evening worship. We thank you for providing all that we need for body and life. Bless us who have gathered in your name. Forgive our sins, speak to our hearts, dispel our sorrows with the comfort of your word, and receive our hymns of thanks and praise.
Through Jesus Christ, our living Savior, who reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God,
Passion History of our Lord Jesus Christ, this week focusing in on Jesus' agony of soul in Gethsemane. After Jesus had said this, he was deeply troubled and testified, "I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me. The hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table." His disciples were very sad. They stared at one another, at a loss to know which of them he meant, and began to question among themselves which of them it might be who would do this. One after the other, they began to say to him, "The disciple whom Jesus loved was reclining next to him. Simon Peter motioned to this disciple and said,
'Ask him which one he is.'
Leaning back against Jesus, he asked him,
'Lord, who is it?'
Jesus answered, 'It is the one unto whom I will give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish.'
Then, dipping the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, son of Simon. Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said,
'Surely not I, Rabbi.'
Jesus answered, 'Yes, it is you.' As soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered into him."
"What you are about to do, do quickly," Jesus told him. But no one at the meal understood why Jesus said this to him.
Since Judas had charge of the money, some thought Jesus was telling him to buy what was needed for the feast, or to give something to the poor. As soon as Judas had taken the bread, he went out, and it was night. When he was gone, Jesus said,
"Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, then God will glorify the Son in himself, and will glorify him at once."
While they were eating, Jesus took bread on the night he was betrayed, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying,
"Take and eat. This is my
my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.
In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying,
This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me.
They all drank from it. My little children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now. Where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. All men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another.
Simon Peter asked him, Lord, where are you going?
Jesus replied, Where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later.
Peter asked, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you.
And then Jesus answered, Will you really lay down your life for me? Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail.
Jesus asked them, When I sent you without purse, bag, or sandals, did you lack anything?
Nothing, they answered.
He said to them, But now if you have a purse, take it, and also a bag. And if you don't have a sword, sell your cloak and buy one. It is written, And he was numbered with the transgressors. And I tell you that this must be fulfilled in me. Yes, what is written about me is reaching its fulfillment. That is enough, he replied. When Jesus had finished praying, and they had sung a hymn, he went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. Then Jesus told them,
This very night you will all fall away on account of me, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee.
All the others said the same. Then Jesus went with his disciples and crossed the Kidron Valley. On the other side, there was an olive grove, a place called Gethsemane. Jesus and his disciples went into it. Now Judas, who betrayed him, knew the place because Jesus had often met there with his disciples. On reaching the place, Jesus said to his disciples,
"Sit here while I go over there and pray. Pray so that you will not fall into temptation."
He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, James and John, along with him, and began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them,
"My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me."
He withdrew about a stone's throw, knelt down, and fell on the ground and prayed that, if possible, the hour might pass from him.
"Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will. Not my will, but yours be done."
When he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. "Simon," he said to Peter, "are you asleep? Could you men not keep watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." He went away a second time and prayed,
"My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done."
When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say to him. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. Returning to the disciples the third time, he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour is near, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." Here ends our passion reading. Lord, have mercy on us.
And give us your peace.
What grace is this?
Grace, mercy, and peace are yours in great abundance, thanks to God our Father. And that's clearly evident through the gift of his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. What words would you use to describe the love of God? Anyone? Compassion? Humility? Unconditional? Unbelievable? Undeserved? Immense? Amazing? So many words that we could use. Familiar words, like the ones that are mentioned, even some that we may not use as often. Immense, another good word to describe that love of God. And before us tonight, another word to describe that love of God as we continue our look at the greatest love story of all time. From 1 John 3, by inspiration, John writes, "See what great love." That word see there is active tense. Continue looking at it. Continue to behold that great love of God. Not a tiny love. Not a good love. But a great love. Which is immense, unconditional, undeserved, overflowing, great abundance. Powerful words. Written not by accident, but by God's design. Dear friends, continue to behold, continue to see that active love of God as well. That's so great that he has lavished on us. It's like taking that bar of soap and just lathering it all up over us, that body wash. Not missing any parts. We are so loved by God. That robe of righteousness has cleansed us. It fills us up. Why is that love so great? Well, John lets us know that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. That's great love. Because as you pointed out, that's undeserved love. That we should be called children of God. Well, who are we that we deserve to be called children of God? Even as children of God, how do we act sometimes? Not like the children we should, right? But that he, knowing that even, that we would not be able to live up to his expectations, still in great love, sent his son. So that we could be called children of God. And then all that comes with it. We have been adopted into his family, and so we have rights to all that is God's. And as children of God, he opens our eyes to that great love, not just in salvation, but also the great love that he shows upon us day after day by continuing to provide for this world that he created. Not because we deserve it, that's for sure, but because of his great love. Now, this is who we are. And Romans 8 reminds us that as long as we are in Christ, that cannot be taken away from us. And even when we do fall, God reminds us in Scripture that he remains faithful. And so as long as there is breath in us, he gives us opportunity to come back. That prodigal son. And not to be like the son who stayed, but rather to rejoice that the prodigal did come back. That's what it means to be part of the family of God. That's what it means to be his child. To experience his great love and then to pass that love onto others. I mean, the Lord even says, we are to teach the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord. Do they know the greatest love story? And all the ins and outs of it. Do they know by his grace that they too, through baptism, through the gospel, in the word as well, are children of God? And what comes with that? That is who we are. And so there are expectations as his children, not to run amok, but to look back to his word, which is a lamp to our feet and a light for our path. His expectations are clearly laid out on the pages of Scripture, summed up for us, as we heard earlier, love one another. And we love one another because we're in a position to do so as God's children. And so our love for God, our Heavenly Father, radiates then through us as we show love to one another. And the Lord even spells out what that love is to look like. Patience, kindness, gentleness, humility, forgiveness, and on. Not being self-centered, but God-centered. This is who we are. And to remain that way, he calls us to be faithful. He's given us what we need. He's given us his word and sacrament. He says, don't give up meeting together. Continue to gladly hear the preaching of his word and put that word into practice. And so we take time during the week to come together in person and online. We take the time during the week to read devotions. We gather together on Sundays as well. Why? Because this is who we are as children of God. Out of love for him, we want to glorify him so that we can continue to grow up in him and then go and live that love that he has called us into. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. That's why we need to go. The world doesn't know him in the sense of know him here, believe in him. And sometimes the world doesn't recognize that you are a child of God, not because you're not living and talking as a child of God, but they'll go, why? Why are you being kind and patient? I mean, I set you up to destroy that person, and you were kind. I've set you up to make your name great, and yet you're still humble. Think of the Beatitudes. When we put into practice those Beatitudes in Matthew 5, the world looks at us and goes, huh? Because they don't know God the way we have been able to come to know God. But that can change as God uses you and me to introduce them to who God truly is and what God wants for them, to bring them into his family with all the blessings and benefits that come with it. And if we really want to make a change in our society, in our world, until the Lord calls us home, the way to do it is by living as children of God and planting the seed so that others too, by the grace of God, can become his children. Dear friends, now we are children of God. And what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And what is he like? Following his death and resurrection and ascension? What's he like? He's in that glorified body, right? He has been transformed. We will be transformed. The bodies that aren't working as like they used to work will work again. We don't have the full glimpse of what heaven is like. We don't have the full glimpse of what Jesus is like now, but we will when we see him face to face. That was Job's confidence too, right? Even though his life, went below the gutter, so to speak, everything taken away from him, inflicted himself, and yet he could say, I know my Redeemer lives, and I will see him with my own eyes. That's us as children of God. How great is the love of the Father? The greatest love story ever. And it continues. Not just today, but going forward. And that's the whole point, right? The Lord, through John, was encouraging believers then, and he encourages you and me, believers today and believers of all time, to keep looking ahead to what is to come. Yes, live in the present, but with an eye in the future as well. To keep our eyes fixed and focused on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, through what he has done on the cross and sealed by the empty tomb, has enabled us put us in a position to become children of God and heirs of eternal life. That, dear friends, cannot be taken away from us in Christ. And so Jesus says, remain in me and I will remain in you. For we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. His intentions are always good. His intentions have our best interests in mind. And he wants us then to have intentions that are for the best interest of everyone else too. As we reflect then on God's great love story and how great his love is, and what that love has done and continues to do for us, has made us children of God and heirs of eternal life, and keeps us looking forward to that time when we will see our Savior face to face. That gives us and renews in us that peace that transcends all understanding. That peace knowing our sins are forgiven and God the Father has got our back. He's got all of us. And he lifts us up on eagle's wings day after day. When we are tired, our strength comes from him. And with that peace comes confidence. Confidence that we will endure. We may not feel the victory every day, but the victory's already been won. We will see him who has won that victory for us, face to face. How great is the love of our Father. Live in that love and love one another. For that's who we are as children of God. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
We pray. Holy and righteous God, we come before you in deep humility. We confess that we are sinners, both by the nature we inherit and by the sinful thoughts and desires, words and actions that nature produces. Because of our sins, we deserve not only your wrath and punishment, yet you reveal yourself not only as a God of holiness and justice, but as a God of mercy and love. Despairing of our own merits and worthiness, and in response to your gracious invitation, we come pleading for your forgiveness.
Lord, have mercy on us, for your holy name's sake.
You have revealed your love and mercy for us sinners in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior. You sent him into our world to be the atoning sacrifice for the sins of all people. Help us grasp by faith the great truth that the pain and suffering, the mockery and ridicule, and the death and punishment he endured should have been ours. Help us appreciate more and more the love that moved him to suffer and die for us.
Lord, have mercy on us for Jesus' sake.
In silent meditation, let us reflect on our sins, praise our Savior for the forgiveness he has won for us, and ask for God's continued grace to remove any doubt that we are forgiven. God of grace and mercy, may your Spirit continue to be with us as we follow the way of the cross. As we contemplate the story of our Savior's passion, build us up in our faith. Renew in us the zeal to serve you by reflecting your love in our lives. Give us the desire and the ability to boldly proclaim the grace in which we stand, so that all for whom you lived and died may join us in fellowship now and in your presence forever.
We offer our humble thanks and praise, our prayers and petitions, and ourselves in body and spirit to you, Lord God. Hear us according to your promise, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
And we also pray,
our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
But he was pierced for our transgressions.
He was crushed for our iniquities.
The punishment that brought us peace was upon him.
And by his wounds we are healed.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
Jesus Christ.
God bless your evening and the rest of your week. Just a reminder that we do have a call meeting, which will begin in about 10 minutes here in the church proper. This is for our junior K kindergarten teacher position. And so just keep that in mind. Thank you.
Thank you.